Okay, it says it's being recorded, so we're going to go ahead again. My name is Daryl Pagliuzzo, and I'm from Medford, New Jersey, and I count it a privilege today to be able to share with you what God has placed in my heart. I am here in Florida with Becky, and Becky has a conference and a seminar that she's doing at 9 o'clock this morning, and I guess when we got here, I was at a conference with her over the weekend and realized it was going to be a conflict with time, so she asked me if I would step in and share pray for the prayer requests and share what maybe God has placed upon my heart. So I count it a privilege and an honor to be able to share with you today, ladies, what God has placed in my heart. Obviously, I was not prepared when I came to Florida this weekend thinking that I was going to be giving a little devotional, but when Becky asked me on Saturday, I thought, what can I share? I wasn't coming to prepare to share anything, and yet I thought, what can I share? So what I thought I would do is share a little bit what God is doing in my heart. I have a devotional that I've been reading since January 1st, and I think it's very applicable to most people, most women, and most everyone. And so I thought what I would do is share a little bit how God is working in my life. And I brought my little journal with me because I've been journaling every single day since January 1st on the devotion book that I'm reading and then how God is using that in my life. So first of all, I don't know if any of you are familiar with Kay Arthur, but Kay Arthur is a wonderful writer, and she has a book called Lord, Heal My Hurt, and that is a devotional study on God's care and deliverance, and it comes from the book of Jeremiah. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to share a couple things that I feel like God has spoken to my heart that I thought might be an encouragement to you ladies on the phone here today, and that you might be able to have something to take away that is comfort and peace, and that's going to give you something to stand on when adversity comes your way. So I'm going to start, first of all, with a little bit. I'm not going to read Jeremiah 1, 1 through 10, but it actually does come from Jeremiah. And as I read Jeremiah 1, 1 through 10, God reminds me of his omniscience, of his presence in our lives. Before he formed me, it says he knew me. He knew about my pains. He knew about my hurts. He knew all of it. When you think about before he even formed me, before we were even in the womb, he knew me. He knew Daryl. He knew Jean. He knew Joy. He knew Susan. He knew Melissa. He knew Sarah. Before we were even formed in the womb. That amazes me. When I think about that, I've always knew that God knew me in the womb, but he knew me before I was even formed in the womb. And to know that he knows individually us, he created us, he created our personalities, and he knows our pains, he knows our hurts, he knew all of it. He knew it all before it was even in existence. And then it goes on to say that he sanctified me, meaning just like he sanctified Jeremiah, he set Jeremiah apart for a special work. And just as he has ordained Jeremiah, he has ordained a plan for my life, and he's ordained a plan for your life. But when you continue to read Jeremiah, Jeremiah gives God excuses, and he says, "Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot even speak. I'm a child." And God stopped him, and God said, "Don't say that." And then it made me think, what excuses am I giving to God about what I can or can't do? When God asks me to do something, or when God has given me a task, or when there's been a burden or a trial in my life, am I giving God excuses of why I can't do something he's called me to do? Or am I willing to go ahead and do it even though I feel inadequate? God will prepare the way, and God will give me the words to say. And then Jeremiah was afraid. He was afraid to take that step, and God knew that. And he told him, "Don't be afraid. God will deliver me as he delivered Jeremiah." And then I thought this was wonderful. As you read the first chapter of Jeremiah, God touched Jeremiah's mouth. And God's plan for Jeremiah was a couple things. And if you have a pen and paper, I'd love you to jot these down because this really spoke to me. It said God's plans for Jeremiah was to set him over the nations and kingdoms. And then there was a couple things that God had set for Jeremiah to do. Number one, it was to root out. Number two was to pull down. Number three was to destroy. Number four was to throw down. Number five was to build. And number six was to plant. And then I thought, how does this apply to my life? And then as I thought about that, I thought, what needs to be rooted out of my life? What needs to be pulled down? What needs to be destroyed? And what needs to be thrown down? Is it possibly anger? Could it possibly be bitterness? Could it be hurt? Could it be unforgiveness that I'm holding on to? What do I need to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down? What needs to come out of my life? And then I thought, what do I need to build and plant? What does God want me to plant in my life? What does God want me to build in my life? Seeds of forgiveness, seeds of love, seeds of trust, seeds of commitment, seeds of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the things that are in the Bible, Romans 15:4 says, whatever things were written in earlier times, they were written for our learning. And do we know why they were written for our learning? Anyone can share in here. I don't want to do all the talking. Do we know why those things in the Bible were written for our learning? Does anyone know that verse?
Nope.
It says, so that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. See, I think sometimes what happens is we go through some of the struggles and the obstacles and the challenges of life, the sicknesses, the heartaches. What can we learn from them? We can learn that we have a greater hope. We have a greater hope. And God told Jeremiah that people might not be receptive to what Jeremiah was going to say. They're going to show anger. They're going to show disbelief. There's going to be hatred. But God told Jeremiah, do not be destroyed, dismayed. Do not be discouraged. Because God's promise is, I am with thee and I will deliver thee. What a great reminder of God's presence and deliverance to me, his daughter, and to you, his daughters. And the obstacles that are before me or before you or around me or around you, they're not just obstacles, they're opportunities to show God's power and his faithfulness to us. And, you know, we all have different kinds of things in our lives. You know, I don't know all the different things in the stories of your lives, the pains, the hurts, but I do know that none of us are without hurts and pains. Mm-hmm. Because when you live in this world, Jesus says we're going to have tribulation. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good comfort. I have overcome the world.
Right.
And I love the fact that, you know what? We have not been guaranteed an easy road, have we?
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
No.
We're not supposed to have an easy road. It's, you know what? I think when we come to the fact and realize that, I mean, for some reason in our lives, I think we think we're supposed to be able to have everything the way we want them to have. It should be going the way that we want it to go. And everything should always be hunky-dory. But you know what? The Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible tells us we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have trials. We're going to have hurt. We're going to have pain. But the promise is that God is going to give us the strength to overcome. And the day is coming when we don't have to have that pain and those hurt and those trials. But in this world, we will have tribulation. But then the comfort is, be of good cheer. God has overcome. And he is our deliverer. Yep. And as I've read this book, Jeremiah, I'm just in the very beginning stages of it, but Jehovah Rapha is the name that is used in the book of Jeremiah. And Jehovah Rapha means he is a Lord God who heals.
Wow.
Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who heals. Yeah. Heals. Now, we could take that numerous of ways. Heals how? Heals emotionally, heals mentally, heals physically. Heals spiritually. He is our healer. And I know each and every one of us who are on this phone call either have pain right now or hurt or have had hurt or pain or will have hurt or pain. But we do have that comfort to know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Christ has overcome.
Right.
And so as I continue just to think about these verses, I just want to share a couple other scripture verses that have stood out to me to help me. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it goes on to say, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And one of the things I find great comfort in, I'm down here in Florida at a retreat that Becky had gone to. We were at a direct sales retreat that we were at, and it was all about powering up, and we've got the power. And, yes, we can take that into our business. Say, okay, we're all powered up, and we've got the power, motivated, inspired. But you know what? I love the fact that we have that power every single day residing in us, a different kind of power, a power that we can overcome. Not just a power to do great in our businesses. That is true. But we have that power that we can be tapped into and energized every single day, and God is the source of that power that resides within us. And then Jeremiah 17:14, this verse was one of the verses they challenged us to learn and memorize. It says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." And so those are the verses and the things that God placed upon my heart to share with you. But there is another book that I've also been reading that I just thought I would share with you one last time before we go on to prayer. I don't know if any of you heard of the book Greater by Stephen Furtick, but it talks about dreaming bigger and start smaller and igniting God's vision for your life. And I would just like to read a little bit of what he has to say. And it goes on to say, if you have enough faith in your Father to act on a word, and if you think about it, in the Old Testament, God told Abraham to go. And that was one word he said to Abraham. And then he told Peter, one word, come, to walk on the water. If you do, it means that even if you don't know how it's going to work out or how it's going to end, you're willing to burn whatever plow he asks you to burn and then step into the life he's designed for you. Maybe the only word he's giving you about your marriage is stay. Sometimes burning the plows means eliminating your escape plan. Maybe the only word he is giving you about your future is trust. Maybe the only insight he is giving you about your situation is, I will provide. If you're going to walk by faith and trust in your Heavenly Father, and if you're going to see your life set free from the tyranny of the ordinary, you're going to have to learn how to obey a God who doesn't do details. We all want the details, don't we? We want to know how it's all going to work out in the end. But as you obey, you'll be placing the results in the hands of a God who knows every detail and who has a contingency for every circumstance you'll ever face. He did it for all the Bible characters in the Bible. And when you read the accounts of God's calling in their lives, it may seem as if God was winging it. But on the surface, it might seem that his plan was to deal with the details as they came up. But God never makes up anything as he goes along. He knows the end from the beginning. He had Abraham's destination mapped out before Abraham even took the first step. And he had his right arm outstretched to yank Peter to his feet before he even went under. Just because God doesn't show you the details doesn't mean he doesn't know them. Your Father is in the micromanagement of the universe. If he schedules a worm for the bee, the worm for the bird, and the clothes, the flower in designer dress, how much more will he do for you? Approach the greater life knowing God has worked it all out in advance, and he'll give you the day's order when you show up at the job site, because he's more interested in your full obedience than in your full understanding. And it's just the way that God likes to work. So let me just stop the recording here so that we can get ready to go on to prayer. So just hang on just a moment. Is there anything that anyone would like to just make a comment that maybe touched their heart or maybe something that they would like to share before I go on to the prayer part?
I did have a quick question that the last verse you quoted in Jeremiah, it was Jeremiah 17:14. 14, okay.
Jeremiah 17:14, yes. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to say anything before we take the rest of the prayer request and pray?
Okay, I just want to say that spoke directly to me. I just want to say that just spoke directly to me. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, that was just exactly what I needed to hear.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you know, like I said, God orchestrates everything, and who would have known, you know, that I was going to be doing this on the call, but, you know, God just obviously orchestrates his purpose and his plan, and I hope that the things that I've shared can be an encouragement to you guys, and if you are hurting and you need some extra help to get through things, that book is very, very helpful and just talks about God being the healer and takes you step by step and just gives you hope to deal with whatever, you know, circumstances or trials or pains that you might be going through. Okay, so let me just stop the recording.